Welcome to the PRSA Southeast District Podcast. My name is Brad Belode. I'm the 2020 chair of the district. The Southeast District is comprised of 13 chapters with 2,900 members from Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. Today we're talking diversity and inclusion with Shanita Barak Akintande. She's the immediate past chair of the PRSA National Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Shanita is an award-winning professor, author, and communicator. She has more than 20 years of experience in business, media, and diversity. She's an associate professor at Columbia College Chicago, where she is also the Culture, Race, and Media Program Coordinator. She is also the Executive Vice President of Marketing for Ujamaa Construction, the premier minority-owned construction company based in Chicago. This conversation was recorded in February 2020. Tell me some about the work of the PRSA Diversity Inclusion Committee.
Sure, Brad, and thank you so much for having me on today. It's an honor to talk to you and my fellow PRSAers. So the Diversity and Inclusion Committee, it has a kind of lofty task because it wears two hats. It is an internal facing group that looks at our organization of the Public Relations Society of America, and we examine ways in which we can grow and be better in the fields of diversity and inclusion. So that means everything from someone's background, whether it be race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, age, ability, all the words that isms can go after. But we also look at the ways in which our profession as a whole can advance if we adopt some of these principles in effective, best practice kind of ways so that we are better communicators and better for both ourselves and our clients.
Those sound like very lofty goals. What's the composition of the committee? What kind of resources are behind this journey?
So I'll start with the latter portion first, the resources. So this is how I tell people, you can see that you're putting some money where your mouth is, or that there's some real intentionality behind this work. Because unfortunately, as you and I both know, Brad, in a lot of instances, people talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. There's a song out now says, walk it like you talk it. And so our last PRSA chairman, Deb Peterson, put $25,000 behind diversity and inclusion initiatives from the PRSA side. And that's not including the things that we already do as an organization, such as our travel grants, which are allotted to students from diverse backgrounds for them to attend the ICON conference, our multicultural scholarship monies that go to students from diverse backgrounds to help offset college expenses, right? So this is above and beyond that kind of work. And it was specifically for us to implement in the 2019 year a strategic plan that was a qualitative and quantitative examination of where we stand as an organization and where we need to move forward. And I know under Garland's leadership, because he expressed this explicitly, now he didn't give me no dollars and cents, Brad, so I don't know how much moolah is behind this, but he definitely is a captain, a co-captain on this journey with us. And so I have no doubt that he'll also put the monetary support behind it as well.
Right, right. You mentioned those two different priorities. Why in 2020 are we behind or needing revision and improvement in either of those areas, either from the society, the organization standpoint, or from the business and the industry?
I think we're actually ahead of the game, our organization as a whole. I'm a member of many groups and have been for years. And what I always tell people is that PRSA is one of the few national entities that actually prides itself in doing the work that is needed. And so to be quite honest with you, we have a long way to go, obviously. But for me, as this little black girl from the south side of Chicago who didn't know what public relations was by name, but because as an undergraduate student, I was embraced by the organization, not literally, they didn't know me from Adam, but the fact that they had a multicultural scholarship that I mentioned earlier that helped me offset some of my college expenses and then helped me land my first career, you know, after graduation, and the rest is history. That's the kind of organization that pays it forward. I mean, they give to the, they reach back and pull people up, not with a helping hand, Brad. I don't mean to insinuate it was poor little girl, let's give you a helping hand and help you out. You had to earn it.
Right.
There's work involved. And so the work involvement is why I think a lot of groups don't do it, because it's not always pretty at the beginning.
Interesting. Messy. Yes, messy. You talked about the priority that it's given and the resources behind it. Diversity and inclusion is a strategic priority as part of the Vision 2020 plan. What does the roadmap look like now that it's documented, it's a priority, there's a three-year aspiration? What does the roadmap look like to move forward on this?
Well, I want to change the semantics from roadmap to, and I don't know what airline pilots use, Brad, because, you know, we're doing an aerial view here. To do diversity work, you got to have that sky panoramic view of this. It can't be on the ground. It needs to be up above, and that's where the leadership comes in. And why it's so essential for it to start at the top with the leadership in these organizations and kind of funnel downward. So rather than roadmap, I like to call it, I don't know, Brad, what do they call it? Whatever the airplane pilots use. So they use a little bit of you know, intuition. We don't want it to be too much intuition because we want them to know what they're doing. But they need to use that aerial stuff and see it and look downward and not from a, I'm on the hallowed hill and I'm looking down at the people beneath me, if I'm making sense. But they need to have that wide vision and to share that vision and get other people's buy-in. And from there, it extends naturally. And so I think, again, that's what makes us good as an organization, because between our head honcho leader this year with Garland, the board, the committees, and then it funnels out to the chapters. I mean, that's how it works.
Yeah. You mentioned some of the good things going on. What does good look like in this space? Where are there chapters who have got some momentum, who are doing this the right way?
Oh, Brad, you're going to put me on the spot. I ain't going to call out any chapters specifically other than the ones that won our national awards last year. So like West Virginia, Wisconsin, Portland, Oregon is doing a great job. Dallas is doing some good work. I'm from Chicago, so of course I'm going to toss them in. Mm-hmm. But I think overall what people have to understand is I don't want to give too many gold stars. I don't want the coal miners who have been buried long ago to start turning over in their graves for me giving out the gold stars, because there's still work to be done, as I said a moment ago. So I don't want to sound like I'm giving out the flags so people can start to rest on their laurels. What to me is really best is when people don't make it complicated. When you look around your chapter, and I don't mean you personally, I'm saying folks listening. Yeah. When you look around your chapter, for example, at your membership dynamic, just who's in the chapter, just from an eyeball perspective, if they all look like you, have the same last name as yours or similar, you know, eat at the same restaurants as you, wear, have on the same color shirt, whatever, then you ain't diverse enough. You need to mix that up. And so if you start at that base level, I think chapters are going to see some growth and development. But, you know, again, that takes courage and that takes willingness to shift things, Brad.
A willingness to change, often the very first step.
Yep.
Last year, you spoke at the Corporate Communications Conference about decoding diversity in PR. Can you share a little bit about some of the wisdom you shared at that time?
You got a check for me? They didn't pay me either. I'm just teasing. So I shared a lot. And let me just tell you, I had never been to Columbus, Ohio before that trip, and I am going back. I don't know if it's just where they had us staying, but they had like a great shopping area and everything. It was really nice. But anyway, sorry, you want to know specifics about decoding diversity.
It left an impression on you, obviously.
It did. But, you know, there's a history with Ohio. There's a history with a lot of the kind of Midwestern cities from a variety of standpoints. When I talk about diversity, for example, although I know, as I said earlier, it's on a continuum, today as we're talking to one another on this third day of February, you know, I'm sitting here at the intersection of Martin Luther King Day, which was a few weeks ago, and Black History Month, which we're in now. And so race is at the crux of my conversations a lot when I talk about diversity and inclusion initiatives. But Ohio, what I found was, and the people there who spoke were very candid, and they shared some of the racial dynamics of their city and how they've grown some and they need to grow some more. But what I walked away from was asking them this question. I said, what's the one thing that you can do differently when you return back to your chapters or back to your organizations that can make an impact on diversity. And when they looked at me with a little bit of hesitation, because they weren't necessarily sure, you know, what I was looking for, how to answer that, I said, well, when you think about it, don't think about it in terms of grandiose. If you have someone who works in the mailroom at your organization, or who works at the front desk, or who works, you know, in the cafeteria, or wherever it may be, just acknowledge and see them. I think part of this is that we don't understand that it starts very simply with basic conversations, again, with people who may have a different job function. So it's beyond, you know, complex pie charts and stuff. It's just real rooted conversations. And that was like a light bulb moment for people. I haven't followed back up with them to see how that's going for them, but I have a feeling it's going pretty well, because I know from experience that those kinds of things are what move the needle.
Yeah, I think there's a recognition there of, we often build silos around us, and certainly our technology enables that to some extent, whether it's looking at your phone, having earbuds in. We've put up these walls, which may not be very strong, but they are barriers to connection, to understanding, to empathy, to recognizing what's and who, more importantly, who is around you and what their worldview is.
Yes, very well said.
That's you know, every journey of 10,000 miles starts with a few steps, and that first one of going, you know, let's just look at each other and recognize. As you think about the journey that the organization is on, that the industry is on, in 5 years, in 10 years, how will we recognize that we're headed in the right direction, that we've made some gains in that area?
Well, you know, again, the measuring stick, unfortunately, and I understand you need metrics, and as I mentioned, we're doing the qualitative and quantitative, or we did do the qualitative and quantitative, the mixed methods study, mm-hmm. to assess our organization and see where we are. So you do need measurements. But I'm also hesitant sometimes to put that kind of barometer out there, because I think it leaves people, you know, feeling bad, or if they don't reach, you know, the goal, because some of this stuff isn't measurable in that way. So here's a quick example. You know, we just lost one of our greatest basketball players, Kobe Bryant, recently. Tragically, he and his daughter and the other lives that were lost in that painful helicopter crash that happened recently. Mm-hmm. And I think that sports as a whole is a great example to us as to what we can model in some ways of how people can come together, no matter their background or their interests, not just because of the tragedy of the Kobe Bryant passing and his daughter, but the Super Bowl last night. No matter where you are geographically in the United States, you know, the country comes together for things like that. Mm-hmm. And you had a multiracial quarterback on the team, and, you know, he was on the camera, and I was so proud to hear him speaking, and just his enthusiasm and his modesty, and how he was just saying the team did it and we did it, and there was such unity, right, on that field. And even before the game, when they showed the 100-year history of the NFL, and you could see all the players and the coaches, and again, race, but racial backgrounds, nobody was worrying about any of that. It was just about the excellence of the players. And so excellence and diversity are not mutually exclusive. And just like in sports, if you can just come together and unify for whatever your goal is, then that works. And so I got goosebumps last night when I was watching that game, when I watched the pregame. Oh, and J-Lo and Shakira, don't mention them. They were awesome at the halftime. But you get what I'm saying? So that is what I would love us as people to recognize. When it works, it just really works. It works really, really well.
You have a contagious passion about this. Why are you so passionate about this subject?
You know, I'm not a coffee drinker, Brad, so this is why I don't drink coffee.
Neither am I.
It's 4:30 Chicago Central Standard Time. But this is something that I'm passionate about because I feel like I'm a product of it. You know, I've had people who saw me, as I mentioned, and helped, you know, kind of dust me off and didn't necessarily just see my hue, my H-U-E, but they saw my who, my W-H-O. And they knew that I was this passionate person who needed direction. And with my direction, with their guidance, their mentorship, their support, that I would blossom and grow, and it's true. And so now as a professor, I work really hard to do the same thing with my students, because I tell people, you can't take a snapshot of someone when they're 18, 19, 25, 35, 45. Okay, I'm going to stop there, but you get my point. You can't always see where people are going exactly. But if you point them in the direction and put them in the position where they can be shown examples and again, supported, and when they stumble, not berated for their stumbling, but, you know, taught how to do it better, I think miraculous things can happen. And so, I feel like that's been my experience. So I just want to share it.
In your time in education, have you seen an evolution or a change in how young people perceive these issues and deal with them?
Yeah, in a huge way. Like today, I have a class, I taught a class, and we do an exercise called The Things We Carry, and it's a book with a similar title. And the book is about a war veteran and the things he carried literally with him emotionally, psychologically, after coming back from war. Mm-hmm. But in class, do it, and I have the students bring in an artifact that just shows what kind of learner they are, and I ask them to bring something from their past. It could be their childhood or just any part of their life that is meaningful. And today, for the first time, I was literally almost brought to tears. I mean, I'm passionate anyway. I cried at the Google commercial at the Super Bowl.
Didn't we all?
I was bawling. But today in class, the students really shared some heartfelt stories about various things on the continuum of their young lives. They're young. But it reminded me of how much these young people get it a lot better than a lot of us adults do today, I'm saying, Brad, this diversity issue.
Yeah.
Like when I bring it up in class or if I say diversity and inclusion, they look at me like, what? So I have to say, oh, well, this is what we're going to talk about. But I realize for them, a lot of them are so intuitively connected through the social media, as you pointed out earlier, which has a positive in that way. It's connected people from around the world mm-hmm. in different ways. They have some things they still have to learn. I'm not suggesting that they're all encompassing, non-biased, but they are much more advanced with these conversations than we are, I think. So that's encouraging to me.
That is encouraging, knowing that these are the PR professionals and the PRSA members of the future coming up who perhaps can bring energy and enthusiasm and a different worldview on how to approach these things so that it isn't called out specifically, but it's just part of woven into the fabric of how you do business, how you run an organization.
Correct. Yes. And so with that being said, we can learn some things. And, you know, I said this a lot when I was chairing the D&I committee with our PRSSA students who are always very active and have always been back from when I was a PRSSAer. But the students, I say, well, let's look at them, guys, and let's listen to them. They know a lot. I mean, there's some things they need to know tactically, and we have, you know, the longer teeth, but they are, they got some things that we can learn from them as well.
That's terrific. Shanita, I want to give you a chance to talk about your own podcast and what folks can find there when they listen.
Yes, thank you, Brad. Okay, so you don't have to pay me because that was a perfect setup when you mentioned the podcast. I appreciate that. So my podcast I do is for McGraw-Hill. It's called Marketing Insights. And as the title suggests, I give about, you know, a snapshot of various things related to marketing as a whole. But given that I'm Shanita Baraka Akintande, and let me just pause with my name for a second because I know that's a mouthful. So Shanita Baraka, my parents gave me that, Brad. So can you imagine a three-year-old walking around? That's pretty heavy on a three-year-old
sure.
to have that name. So I hated it as a kid. I'm like, why aren't I Tiffany? But now I love it. And Akintande is my married name. My husband is Nigerian, so that comes from him. But the name I relate to because on the podcast, I talk about the inception of naming in marketing and how names are important. And that's why our committee being called Diversity and Inclusion. You add inclusion because it's not just about a seat at the table. It's about, do you have a fork? Do you have a knife? Do you have a spoon? Do you have a plate? You following me?
That's a great
analogy.
Okay,
but I digress. So correct, right? So the podcast I did this month in January or last month is called How Do You Spell Diversity? And I spell it R-E-S-P-E-C-T from the Aretha Franklin hit.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, take F-T-C-T.
People walk, talk, and chew gum differently. Well, actually, people probably do that all in pretty much the same manner, especially when blowing the bubbles. But the people behind the bubbles, well, they are going to look different from one another. They're going to view the world around them from different vantage points and also experience your brand differently. But in order for them to buy into a brand, people must feel that the brand has bought into them.
So I encourage all of your listeners to this podcast to check out my podcast. So yeah, I mean, I encourage you to listen. It's about 8-9 minutes, but the podcast is, again, a snapshot of marketing from my perspective, which is one perspective, but I think it's pretty unique. And I mean, I've gotten pretty good reviews on it, so I think it's pretty interesting, if I say so myself.
That's awesome. 8 or 9 minutes well spent, I'm sure. Shanita Baraka Akintande, thank you so much for joining us. We certainly don't want this to be the last conversation about diversity, but we really appreciate you being here and look forward to how the chapter and the profession is going to grow in this space in the future.
Well, thank you. And having folks like you invite me and others to come and talk about this, Brad, is more important and powerful than you know. So again, thank you so much for initiating this and reaching out to me. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to my conversation with Shanita Baraka Akintande, the immediate past chair of the PRSA Diversity and Inclusion Committee. You can hear Shanita's podcast from McGraw-Hill Marketing wherever you listen to podcasts. You can learn more about her at shanitaspeaks.com. Our website is prsasoutheast.org. I'm Brad Belote. Thanks for listening.